That is what we're looking at here today. Launching point here for this sermon is Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. You know, to have it missed last week, what a joy it is to be back in the pulpit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Other than taking time off for a vacation, what a miserable time. Last week, it was just root canal to the uttermost. And it's so good to be back. And I knew all week, I've preached this before. It's one of the greatest sermons God's given me. And I knew all week I've been itching to come in and dig through the catacombs and find this again and have enough time to go over it and make it modern here for today. And you guys can be the judge of that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. It says this, Jesus speaking, he says, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, Antipasta. That means he hates ham and salami in his salad. Antipas, actually, the word means against everyone or against everything. They must have hated this guy in town. Antipas was my faithful martyr. Of course, Greek word is the same. Martyr and witness is the same word. He says, who also was killed among you. Then in case you missed it the first time, he says it again, where Satan dwells. And I want to talk to you today about this faithful brother named Antipas. Now, as history has it, Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle. So my question to you, and my question is to you watching here today, how did he do it? How can a person have the fortitude to persevere under such a trial like that? So, by the way, could you do that? Could you do that? Could you walk into a scorching hot kettle whistling, fly me to the moon? Do you hate your life that much? You'll notice the verse on the handout there, John 12:25. You'll see it. I think I even spelled that one out. Do you hate your life that much? What gave this man the fortitude to stand tall under a fierce trial like that? Now, as we examine that question this morning, I want to go through the Bible and look at others who faced a similar trial. If you would please turn with me, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Now, Daniel's three friends were forced to bow down and worship this image. And they refused to, and the word got out. By the way, what a perfect foretaste for how it's going to be here at the end of the age. Even down to the image. 2,500 years ago, followers of Jehovah God were forced to bow down and worship an image. Now, these three here refused to bow down. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14. Now, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good, or bravo. But if you do not worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you. Now, I love the way the King James Version reads here. It says, we're not careful to answer you. And I like that, meaning no eggshells here with us. We're not careful. This is like a bull in a china shop. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to think twice. I'm not going to be scared of offending you or hurting your feelings. We're not careful to answer you. I don't care if I offend you. We're not careful. We have no need, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But now the next three words are key. Look what it says in verse 18, first three words. It says, but if not. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, neither will we worship any gold image that you have set up. You see, this is the winning mindset. Daniel 1:6 calls them the children of Judah. Now, I don't know, but teenagers sometimes are described by one particular word. You know what it is? They're reckless. Reckless. Like Darren having a party at his parents' house when they were out of town. We learned all about it in Sunday school. Almost caused his stepfather to have a stroke. His mother's in tears. Because their son was reckless. Reckless. That's the winning mindset. We're not careful to answer you. We're not careful. Reckless abandon. That's what we need. I was reckless when I was this age. It's a miracle I'm still alive. How about you? But if not. You see, this is what put Antipas into the bronze kettle. This is what leads Polycarp, the first bishop of Smyrna, to freely let those at the synagogue of Satan tie him up to a stake to burn him alive, only to speak those familiar words. He says, bring it on, Smedley. He says, 86 years have I served the man in the glory. Bring forth what thou wilt. Where did he get that? You see, I want to bottle that and sell it on eBay. No, I want to bottle it and drink it myself. Sorry, eBay. Old selfish me, I'm keeping that. Because I need it too, just like everyone else. Are you able to do that? Are you like these guys? This is what leads all those from the persecuted church to suffer and endure persecution. Being out of the comfort zone was a way of life for these people. For these people, it's not a question of whether or not you're going to watch the Dolphin game at 1 o'clock today. The question is, am I going to deny Jesus Christ this afternoon? So that my family's not put to death? That's the question. That's the winning mindset. God is in control. What can man do to me? Look again at these three. They said, but if not, we still won't bow down. So could you be that cool? Going into the kettle. Could you be that cool? What is the winning mindset? The winning mindset is a spiritual fortitude and a trust and a faith in God that He's bigger than your problems. Let me say it again if you're writing. It's a spiritual fortitude, a trust and a faith in God that God's bigger than your problems today. By the way, did you know God is developing and producing this character trait on the inside of you right now? At least He's trying to, if you would allow Him to. This is why God tells us to rejoice when it happens to us. Romans 5:3. It says this. It says, not only this, but we glory in tribulations. Think about what Paul said. We glory in tribulations. We glory. How many of you have gloried this week in what you're suffering? We glory in tribulations. Knowing that, meaning there's a reason for it, tribulation worketh or brings about perseverance. Perseverance, Greek word, you've heard me talk about it. It's hupomeno. Hupo means under. Meno means to abide under. All right, now humor me here for a minute. Let's personify this. Let's call hupomeno, let's call it nerve. Let's call it oomph. Let's call it a spiritual arrogance. It's like a spiritual byproduct of two things, which by themselves won't help you one bit. But mixed together, you've got spiritual nitroglycerin, is what it is together. Like hydrogen by itself will kill you. Go to Saturn, try to breathe it. It won't work. Mix it with oxygen. You can drink it. Matter of fact, I will. You see, it's the same here. You take a little God-ordained tribulation in your life, like sickness, poverty, some personal trial like COVID. Or some test of faith. And you add a little bit of abide under and put it together. And what do you got? You see, you got an attitude. I wrote down here from the last time I preached this, I wrote down John Wayne. Pilgrim. What can man do to me? This is where it comes from. Again, it's God-ordained tribulation, like sickness or COVID. Mix that with abiding under the hand of God and waiting for God to see you through what trial that you're going through in your life. Put them together, and what do you got? We're not careful to answer you. That's where it comes from. It's an attitude. I call it the God compound. But if not, they said, you see, these guys had it. These guys had it. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, neither will we worship the gold image that you have set up. The winning mindset is a spiritual fortitude, a trust and a faith in God that God is bigger than your problems. One more. Actually, probably 80 more, but if I can still stand, I'll keep preaching it. James 1:2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Out of the NIV, it says, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. All right, joy and trials. This guy's got to be crazy, right? Come on, who does this? Who does this? Fall. So why does he say this? Look, he's going to show you. There's a comma here. He's not done. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Now the NIV has got the word develops. Like being in God's dark room today. You're in God's dark room. You can't see what's going on. But he's working behind the scenes. Just don't turn the lights on. Turn the lights on, you ruin what God's doing. You ruin his work by turning the lights on. You got to abide under the hand of God while you're going through whatever it is that you're going through. Abide under the hand of God and he will deliver you. That's what he does. He's God. It's when you cut bait and run and take matters into your own hands is when you're going to get in big trouble. None of this applies to you if that's what you do. It applies to someone else. Your friend who trusts God, but not you. Going about your way, and sooner or later you're going to encounter one of these things in your life. And look at the response the Bible tells you to have when it happens to you. Pure joy. Because God is turning you into a spiritual giant. That's why. Where you take no prisoners. And the world is your oyster. Never comes on top of the mountain. It comes through suffering. Through suffering. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, that is, God's going to take you for a ride. Like you're a used car down the street here. And there's a little sign on there, red line, 3,000. Well, guess what? God pushes your red line up to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000. As if you were a Suzuki motorcycle or something. 11,000. God, stop. I'm going to blow up. That's all I can stand, Popeye says. I can't stand no more. 12,000. What does Scotty say? She'll blow, Captain, any minute. 13,000. 14,000. You see, consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, when God takes you for a ride around the corner here, you're going to find out how high your red line is. And trying again. Righteous man, the Bible says, picks himself up 7 times. You try again. If I say this doesn't apply to you, make it apply to you today by trusting God today with what you're going through. If you missed it last time, make it right. Make it right today. Trust God this time. Develop. Notice that. Notice what develops fortitude. It doesn't say hitting the trifecta at Pocono Downs doesn't develop it. Or finding Uncle Luigi's secret stash of $20 bills hid in his mattress. That doesn't do it. Or smooth times of peace and joy and prosperity and easy living doesn't produce endurance. It's the testing of your faith that produces endurance. The testing of your faith added to abiding under the hand of God is what develops what these guys have that we're looking at. Their lives were different than yours and mine. The testing of your faith develops what these guys had. Hear me. Regardless of if Satan sends the test or God, it doesn't matter who sent it. Because all things, regardless of where it comes from, all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are the called according to his purpose. Look at the cross. Satan thought he had the victory at the cross. And look what happened. He was destroyed by the cross. That was his death sentence. Satan died on the cross. Not Jesus. Jesus was raised up after the cross. Even if Satan causes your hardship, God will turn that around for your good and for your glory. No matter what you're going through, understand these trials are creating what I call an osmosis, enabling you to conquer the known world. And God wants you to conquer, which is why he makes your life difficult. Next up, Psalm 56, verse 9. If you have a handout, I think you'll see I'm going in order. Next up is the spiritual fortitude of King David. Psalm 56, verse 9. Notice when and then and why. Psalm 56, verse 9, it says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because... So you got when, and you got then, and you got why, all in the same verse. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Hallelujah. See, the realization, get this, church, the realization that God was for him is all that he needed. Once you grasp and understand that God is on your side, David goes on, in God I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Is this your attitude? It should be. This is the attitude Antipas had to have. If I can speculate, is reckless abandon. You are not going into the bronze kettle without having this. Don't kid yourself. You got to have what these guys had. But of King David's attitude, there's no need to speculate. Right here, three things. Psalm 56, verse 11. Number one, in God I have put my trust. Number two, I will not be afraid. Number three, what can man do to me? God's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same for you as he did for David. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes, you see, we end up like Antipas. But God is good nevertheless. He won't leave you or forsake you. Do you trust him like that, like these others did? Regardless of the outcome. I mean, you know, people look at me now or they're laugh at me or scorn and say, oh, how's that not wearing a mask? How'd that work out for you now? Oh, you talk about a vaccine and you're against that. How's that working out for you now? You see, just like these guys, you see, I win either way because God was at work behind the scenes and now he's made me to the point that I'm not going to suffer from this again. What you thought was my defeat is actually my victory. Because they come up with this thing here in Florida for you to go and you get these shots and now they make it and now they say that people like me will never get coronavirus again. So just like the three Hebrew, you know, maybe I'm invincible, maybe I'll never get COVID, or maybe I'll be like many of you and sit at home and suffer and get it. But I'll tell you what, God's working behind the scenes. And God can take this evil that I think Satan himself made in a laboratory to destroy the human race. And God can take that and turn it around for good. What you thought was my defeat is my defeat.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1 right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.